Welcome in to another episode of Chiefs Focus Live. I would say we have a full show today, but we're only going to talk about two things, and we're just going to talk about a lot of stats. We're getting a lot of things out of the way. This is going to be a very open show.
Yes, it is.
And we're going to talk about the AFC West expansion. My name is Quentin Morris. We got Thiz running the show in the background. And now two guys whose holiday was not so merry, but definitely full of some piss and vinegar and some angry screaming. We got JP, the old man, and the professor, Caleb. What's going on, you guys?
You know what?
Doing great. You doing all right?
Good, man.
I hope your guys' Christmas, all things considered, did well. It was kind of interesting having Christmas on a Monday. And so, you know, getting that three-day weekend. It was nice. I needed it.
Yeah.
Next week, you might get a full – next year may get a four-day, depending on how your company is.
Yeah, because it's in it on – because it's a leap year, right? So – Is it on a Wednesday next year?
Maybe.
I think it is. Yeah, you're right. It's Wednesday because it is a leap year. So it's going to be interesting. Did you have a good Christmas,
Caleb? I can put off my Christmas shopping even further.
There you go.
I had a good Christmas. It was nice.
Good, man.
It's a little weird having it all. It's weird with sports on that day because it feels like 10 years ago there wasn't that many sports on TV. Now it's like feels like Thanksgiving in a way. I don't know. Yeah. Christmas doesn't feel the same, but maybe because we're just all getting older.
Yeah, Saturday didn't feel the same with three NFL games back-to-back like that. It just kind of threw me off, but it is what it is. Yesterday was a very eye-opening experience.
That's a good way to put it.
I got a hot take, so get ready.
I'm ready for the hot take. If you look at this team, and I'm not going to – this is not going to be a bashing moment because it's really – hey, what's up, man? We'll get to your questions in just a few, brother, I promise. This is not going to be a bashing station, seminar. It's not going to be any of that. This is kind of a learning experience for a lot of people. The stats for the Chiefs this year are very lopsided. Their record is not indicative of a lot of their stats. And there's a few things that really just blows my mind about how this season started and how it's ending to a degree. But I want to get your guys' thoughts and then I can get into this really quick, or we can do it the opposite. It's really up to you.
Why don't we sort of do this like a post-game show where we sort of go around the triangle here and we all just sort of give our thoughts. So, JP, I know you are hot and ready in the group chat. So
yeah.
Why don't you go first?
Okay, look, it's a strange thing. We have – and if anybody doesn't like it, you know what, there is a button, you can push it. But I'd rather you subscribe than not. There's a lot of shit going around that, you know, Mahomes was crying on the sidelines. That was not true. Somebody took a moment when it was freezing cold outside and his eyes were watery, so they assumed he was crying. He was not crying. He was pissed, but he wasn't crying. Travis Kelce is pissed. He's not mad at anything other than the fact that the schemes have got him sideways. There were two schemes in that game yesterday. Let me put it this way. There were two offensive schemes drawn up. And the one that they were going to go with, they abandoned. I don't know why. But this season is really a product of mistakes made. And it starts at the top. This has nothing to do with Mahomes. It has nothing to do with anything other than mistakes made from the top. And when I get to this, you'll understand what I mean. Veach made a decision to give Mahomes basically fours and fives and sixes in the wide receiver room.
Never heard that analogy before, but okay.
Yeah. So with the exception of Rashee Rice and Travis Kelce, and Rashee Rice is a rookie, so let's not take that out of context. He's a rookie. So in all retrospect, he should be a four or five or a six.
Yeah, he was an unknown.
He's not. He was an unknown. He decided to make that move and sign an $80 million offensive lineman that is the most penalized offensive lineman in football. and he'd forego the, hey, what's up? Thank you, Stormy. I'm underwhelmed with Veach's decisions this year. The Patriot way doesn't work for everybody. And at some point, you have to swallow your fucking pride and say, I made a mistake. I have to fix this problem. We all knew at the trade deadline we needed a wide receiver. Caleb, you were the fucking first one to say it. You were on the bandwagon, and I
was on the bandwagon since last offseason, so real you quick, were. I want an apology from JP.
I apologize.
From Quentin. So
wait, what did I do?
No. Because I was telling you guys this in August, July, March. Like,
all right, here, Caleb, you ready for this? This is clip this, put it on a YouTube short, whatever.
I was right, but continue.
Caleb, the professor. I would like a formal, sincere-ish apology.
Ish?
That okay. I believed in the Chiefs too much, and I thought that with the same wide receiver room that they could do similar things to what they did last year, and okay. Unfortunately, they have not been able to do that. So, Caleb, I would like to congratulate you for seeing into the future and being able to predict that the wide receiver room has been more than just upsetting, and that it has, in fact, been by far the worst part of this offense. We've got a couple of comments that I want to address. That.
Thank you. It means a lot. Because I did say Aaron Rodgers couldn't do everything, and the Chiefs are putting the same position. But go ahead, Quentin. Go and continue. I'm enjoying this.
WSI asked the question, which wide receiver outside of Rashee Rice will be starting in your guys' opinions for the next week in the playoffs? I think they just do the same thing. Now, yeah. If I don't see them changing anything. Look, MVS had 61 snaps. It was the most snaps out of the wide receiver group on Sunday or on Monday. And he had one target.
Yeah.
One target. And no catches either. He had one target. That was it. That was his only stat. He was just out there running laps. He was Mr. NASCAR. Just kept on going.
Left turn.
Yeah. Stormy KC says,
I hated that, by the way.
Hey, guys. Love the show. I've been listening for a while. Well, I appreciate that. His question is just talking about, should MVS be playing more? I agree with the sentiment of your comment that I don't think he can do any harm. I just don't think that when there's a trust issue, which I think is something that we need to talk about.
It's in this list.
Patrick Mahomes has a trust issue with the other guys. Which is why I think that when you're having your quote-unquote number one wide receiver in MBS is out there for 61 snaps and he gets one target, we know there's a trust issue there. So I don't think that, you know, moving guys around is really going to change anything. The one guy outside of Rice that I think has been beneficial, has been okay, has been good in different games consistently throughout the year, has been Watson.
Yes.
And even Watson had a big screw up on that interception because
that was actually, I was going to bring that up. He was actually supposed to move up on that play and he didn't.
Yes. Even though that pass wasn't a great pass, a great decision, he was under pressure. He threw that ball. Watson needs to come back to that football to make the catch. And he
did. That was the whole play though, Quentin. That's my problem with this. That was the entire play. The play was, you run this route, then you come back 3 yards, and he didn't even come back.
He didn't come back to the football.
He did not come back. That the ball wasn't. It wasn't so much of a horribly thrown ball. The ball was thrown the way it was intended to be thrown. If Watson would have been in the right position, but he was not.
And we've seen this from multiple wide receivers this year, where coming back to the football has been a problem. So I don't know why. Stormy KC, yeah. When you say you guys, you mean the everybody else. You mean everybody else.
Yeah, nobody likes me. Quentin doesn't like Justin Ross.
It is nothing. It's nothing personal.
That's why I don't.
It was simply that one. I have a bet with one of my friends that Kadarius Toney will have more fantasy football points by the end of the year than Ross. So that 30 rack is heading my way in the next 2 weeks. But also, I just think the opportunities aren't going to be there. That was a lot of my point. Was the opportunities. He's buried on the depth chart. And at this point in the season, I don't see Andy Reid jumping him up. And even if he does, let's say he gets the snaps. One of the big problems at this point in the season is now trust. MVS was open a few times over in the intermediate part of the field. Patrick Mahomes just didn't throw the ball. And you can make a few arguments. You can say, oh, well, he was under pressure. Oh, so he didn't see him. Or, oh, he was trying to throw the ball short and the, you know, the team was scheming things out to Rice and the other guys inside the flats and right around the line of scrimmage. But I think it's just, it's easier to see, dude, the guy's open, throw it to him. But Patrick Mahomes didn't because he doesn't trust MVS anymore. Why would you?
Here's the problem that I have. It wasn't just MVS that was open. I know what play you're talking about. There was one particular play, and if this is the one you're talking about, Mahomes had Kelce wide open. He had Noah Gray wide open, and he had MVS wide open. And when I say wide open, there wasn't anybody within 10 yards of any of them. And I think it was on that interception, if I'm not mistaken. It wasn't Justin Watson. It was MVS, Rashee Rice, I apologize, and Travis Kelce. Here's my issue with this. You're going to give an $80 million check to a guy that did well the year prior, but you didn't think that you needed a wide receiver. That to me, that right there, I'm sorry, but it says that Veach doesn't value his quarterback in the way that he should. Okay. And I say that because no matter how good Mahomes is and how good he's been in the past at making wide receivers better than they already were, you can't fix everything. You can't put all those eggs in one basket. And that's what he did. Here's the other problem with this, and I think a lot of people aren't realizing that they're saying, "Oh God, do we miss EB? Really? Do we really?" Because EB has hold on, Jake.
I think we miss the accountability EB has because I don't think.
Okay, but where's the where's the accountability in Washington right now? Because he has.
I think it's a different situation.
Hear me out though. Love him or hate him, EB was getting in them players and letting them know you need to work. And that's I said this the other day. I feel like with Nagy, you're not getting that. You're getting more of a cheerleader than a coach.
Well, you may be, but in the same aspect, my point behind EB is this. It's not a matter of not liking him. It's this.
But here's the thing, though. EB brought a sense of toughness and discipline and expectation. And I don't know what Nagy believes in, but I'll tell you this, and Quinn will agree with me. 2015 Chiefs called and want their playbook back. Why are we running screens on 3rd and 7?
I agree with that. I agree with that.
Why are we doing all these terrible things?
But here's my problem. At this point, this is what I'm saying.
Because the play calling is atrocious.
But here's what I'm saying. And I agree with that. I agree 100%. But here's what I don't like is that everybody is saying EB, he was the bad cop. EB was the accountability guy. He has a plethora of weapons in Washington right now. A plethora. He had his choice. His choice. Remember, everybody, he has 100% play calling abilities. In fact, that's his contract. You call every single play on the offense. We're taking that away from everyone. Ron Rivera has no play calling abilities. You have it all. And in fact, if you make this a winning season, Ron Rivera is gone at the end of the season and you're going to be the head coach. Now, neither one of them know if they have a job. He made the decision to hang on to Sam Howell because he thought Sam Howell was some kind of a quarterback.
Is in the premise of being this functional franchise. It's going to take some time for them to move on. EB created some consistency and some toughness.
But he's not. His time was done here, though. Huh? That's all I'm saying. His time here was done.
Okay, it was over. But I think we're missing some of that discipline, that pay attention to the detail.
Well, if that's the case, that's the only thing we're missing.
I'm not saying he's a bad guy, but I'm not seeing that with him.
I agree with Caleb 100% because you know what I haven't seen at all this season? The offensive coordinator get in Patrick Mahomes' face or Travis Kelce's face or any of these guys' face and let them know
exactly.
What's up. Remember during the Colts game last year when Mahomes and Eric Bieniemy got into it during halftime? Now, I know they didn't end up winning that game, but I could never see Matt Nagy doing something like that. I think you need that. I think you need the good cop, bad cop type mentality because some dudes you need to get up under their face and give them a good old swift kick in the ass. That's just the way some people are.
I agree with that, but there was a little bit too much of that.
NBS?
Some people need to give a pat on the back and say, hey, man, you're good. Hey, you got this. We believe in you. That's it. People are wired differently. And I think the fact that there are just some people that are not responding to the good cop stuff, and it's almost like, I don't want to say they become complacent, but here's a good example. Nate Taylor of The Athletic wrote about this, that there was a media obligation. Head coaches and starting quarterbacks, unless they're injured, have a media obligation after every game. They have to come and speak to the media.
Yes, they do.
Everybody else, they don't have to, right? They're asked, they can just say no. After the game yesterday, there was one guy, one, that stood up and talked to the media, and that was Justin Watson. Nobody else wanted to come up and talk to the media. I would like to see some leaders come up and start to take accountability for this. Now, Justin Watson did a good job. Justin Watson came up and said, and I don't have his quote in front of me, but what he said was, is that they're playing sloppy. It's good to see that finally, we're getting somebody out of the wide receiver room. Finally, someone other than Patrick Mahomes is coming to the podium, coming to the media and saying that we're playing bad football.
Because no, I agree with you.
I'm tired of this idea. It's like, oh, you know, we'll get better. It's a week by week, one game at a time. I'm tired of that crap. Let's come up and take the accountability of saying we're playing like a pile of garbage. We're playing sloppy football. Mm-hmm. I don't think that this would be as bad as if you had some guy to come in and just give you the old swift kick in the ass. Not like, you know, not like Urban Meyer swift kick in the ass, a metaphorical swift kick in the ass.
Well, here's my problem with that is that I know for a fact, and you guys know I know this because, especially Caleb, because he was here during the 2021 season with me, and he knows the information that I get out of this. This team was fucking dysfunctional with Eric Bieniemy in the offense. There was fist fights. There was shit thrown. I'm just saying there's a point where there's a good cop, bad cop, and then there's a point where you take it too far, and he took it too far. You said it yourself.
Are you talking about the loss to the Bengals in the NFC Championship
game? No, not just that one. It was the entire 21 season. You guys, you went to camp yourself. And you heard Eric Bieniemy in camp.
There is some issues, I would say, when EB was a coordinator. But what I liked about EB, he let people know what things are, how things should be done. Regardless if we had some fist fights, supposedly, or everyone was holding hands, singing Kumbaya at the picnic table. People knew you need to pay attention to detail or else you're getting caught on the meeting. The only person I see calling people out is Mahomes and Kelsey.
Well, Andy's been calling out. Andy called out Nagy.
Someone that's confrontational.
Well, Andy's called out Nagy twice on the field.
I know in society now we don't like to push issues and like to let people be. But in football and then sometimes in general, you need someone to press that button. And as bad as maybe EB was at certain things, didn't do things the right way, wasn't politically correct and rubbed people the wrong way and did things and things like that, he at least brought a sense of accountability, discipline, and understanding this is how it needs to be done. He was an old school coach who I would say was a little bit overboard at times. But that's what he was. That's what he did.
And it's not gotten him anywhere in Washington. But I will say this.
But here's the thing. The Washington is going to be some bad for a while.
Why?
Because it's Washington.
JP, Washington.
It doesn't matter. They're new owners. Wait a minute. Hold on.
They just got some new ownership.
I understand.
But quickly, in the next year or two. Give him some time.
I'm just telling you this. Their expectation in Washington, and everybody has said this. It's not just the people that I've talked to. Everybody has said this. They thought this year that Eric Bieniemy was going to completely turn that offense around, and he has not. They've won less games this year than they did last year. Let's not forget about that.
Well,
but my other point behind this is Veach also made another decision, which I am thoroughly fucking blown away that he did. He decided to take a defensive assistant and make him the wide receiver coach. Okay. Understand something. And I don't give a shit what anyone says. This is the exact same football team that we had last year. The same offensive football team that we had last year, with the exception of an injured Juju Smith-Schuster and the emergence of a Rashee Rice that actually is going to probably end up with more yards and already has six more touchdowns than he did last year. Mahomes put up the most yards of any quarterback in football, and they won a Super Bowl. There is a problem with this wide receiver coach. The offensive coordinator is not the guy that teaches the wide receivers the calls. He doesn't hand them a playbook and go, or the play sheet and say, here, learn these plays. Let me sit down with you and hold your hand and do this. That's a wide receivers coach job. And this wide receiver coach sucks. Embry is terrible at his job. It's that simple. You cannot tell me for any stretch of the imagination, no one's going to be able to tell me that you're going to take the exact same football team with a better wide receiver than you had last year. Still no number one wide receiver last year because we didn't have one. Rashee Rice took the place of Juju Smith-Schuster. He's on pace to have more yards, and he already has more touchdowns. So, in essence, he has taken the place in a better position than Juju was in, and he hasn't been injured this year. Now, you're going to tell me that this team, the one main major change that affects the wide receivers is the wide receiver coach, and this team went from 5,250 yards, 46 touchdowns, and winning a Super Bowl to squeaking through an AFC West and beating themselves, not even getting beat, but beating themselves because of bad wide receiver play. There's only one correlation there, and that's the wide receiver coach.
Okay.
Because Matt Nagy is not in control of that.
Let me jump in here because I agree with you a little bit, but I also disagree because I guess that's just what I do all the time.
Well, that's your job.
Yeah. So I agree with you in the sense that there have been some bad mishaps with the wide receiver play, like we just talked about with Watson not coming back to the football, not attacking the football, and it baffles me, it blows me away, and I don't have a reason for it outside of just it's bad football. On the other hand, I've got a couple of things that I want to say. One, I think that the coaching staff should also get credit for Rashee Rice because he is a rookie and he has come in and he has become a number one wide receiver. So as bad as the other wide receivers should be, they should also get credit for what Rashee Rice has been able to do as a rookie. Now, does that balance out all of the other stuff that has been done with the other wide receivers? No, absolutely not. The rest of the core has been bad. But I do think that they need to get some credit for what Rice has done. We just need to keep that in mind.
But I also think in that sense, though, Quentin, and I don't want to interrupt you, Rice was an elite talent coming into this fucking NFL. There's no doubt about it. This kid understands football. A lot of these guys, Sky Moore didn't know shit last year. And to be honest with you, he knows less this year. So you can say that, but then you also have to look at the level of talent that you're working with. Because Rashee Rice is really a wide receiver one in a rookie year. He's surpassed every wide receiver rookie in Chiefs history. He has surpassed every wide receiver that Andy Reid has drafted, and he did it by week 16.
Well, here's what I like to add kind of to your point, JP. I kind of see where both fans are coming at. When we look at our different moves that the Chiefs have done, a couple different things. Number one, Cornell Powell, Chiefs wide receiver, has really only made the field on special teams. Sky Moore had half, not even a fourth of a good season. We let Juju walk, which is understandable because of his knee. But there was no immediate impact. Mahomes can only do so much. Now, exactly. Rashee Rice was a great get. But I've been beating the table, and I said this in the past. So, JP, I didn't get my apology from you. Thank you, Quentin.
I already did. I gave it to you. I said I apologize.
You need to get a dog, a playmaker George Pickens. You saw what he finally did when a quarterback actually threw it his way? He tore up the Bengals. That dude can play. This is what the Chiefs need. We need to stop going after, and I'm going to get some flack for this, but the Chiefs need to stop going after small receivers who can run the route tree. We need some playmakers. I need a Calvin Johnson. I need a Randy Moss. I don't need a Wes Welker that doesn't have a Tom Brady. I need a guy that can go out there and catch the ball.
Because we're going through
the same thing over and over and over again. This happened to Aaron Rodgers, and I'm going to repeat this story again. Aaron Rodgers – was asked to fill all the different issues. We don't have the front office of Packers like, you know, we don't have an extra defensive end. Aaron Rodgers will help us get the points to figure that out. Oh, we're not going to give you a bunch of good receivers. Aaron Rodgers figured out. This is a team game. One person can win you the game and one person can lose you the game, but it takes a team effort as a collective to fix these issues and problems. Yeah, and what we're saying is Veach a great GM? Yes. He has made some moves that were great, but some of the moves he has made has been very questionable. You can put only so much in your offensive line. That group was supposed to be the Secret Service, and they got Mahomes killed several times this season. You need to give the ball to the pass catchers. I don't understand. Draft picks, but we're not firing firing things at the trade deadline. 49ers and Eagles are always relevant, are finding ways to make moves, but Brett Veach can't. We all have the same picks, we all have the same money for the most part, but they're able to do stuff year after year after year. I need to see him be a little bit more aggressive. Now, I know we can't get a Mike Evans, but Michael Pittman could have helped. They're basically tanking. You got guys around the league. There's no reason to bring in Deshaun Jackson or Jarvis Landry at this point in the game. There is no reason. Because what are they going to do? What are they going to do? Nothing. This is an issue where they're going to all sit down. They're all going to have a heart-to-heart. And Veach needs to see, this is the mess I created, and what are we going to do about it? That's what it comes down to at this point.
Well, I do know this.
I understand the moves that have been made. There have been some great moves, but there have also been some bad moves. If you see a playmaker at wide receiver, I need a guy that can go out and catch the ball. Sky Moore, I like the guy. He's not terrible, but Duke hasn't been playing well. Second round pick, Hardman, did his thing for the most part, but we traded a pick to bring him back. What has he done? We're just continuing to do the same stuff over and over and over again, expecting Mahomes to pull the Chiefs from here to here, when in actuality, he can only do so much.
There's only so much you can recycle. I'll just put it that way. Yes. The recycling you can't do.
The system to where we're going to have Kelce do his thing. You need to bring some other guys in. Now, do I think MVS is terrible? No, this is a bad year for him. But I do believe you need to have other guys available to step up. We have $4 million in cap space. Send him for what? What's that?
That was my next point. Is that
going to be for Carr Hunt's retirement party when he sells the team or for Rep Beach or for something? Because this money, for some reason, just stays there and they don't use it. You got to be aggressive.
I agree with you, Stormy.
I would have been happy to shoot. Sign Julio Jones. I know he has turf toe all the time, but at least he can try to catch a ball.
Here's my thing. With MVS, I'll bring up one thing about MVS real quick. I've talked to numerous people, and then I went back and watched. Because I didn't watch a whole lot of Packers football. It wasn't my forte, but I went back and watched some film from him with Aaron Rodgers. He had more drops than catches. I'm sorry, but he did. We paid him to come out here and be a deep threat decoy. And last year, did he step up a little bit? He did. But for the most part, there was a reason why Green Bay let him go.
Aaron Rodgers?
No, MVS.
But here's the thing. Okay, go ahead.
No, all my point is that he's known for dropping balls. He's known for not making the catch. That's what he did in Green Bay, and that's why they released him. Because they thought, and Brett Veach thought, okay, he'll fit better in our system, which I understand that to a degree. There's times that play – I mean, we've proven that as a team collectively, that there's players that fit better in our system than they do in others. There's players that fit in other systems better than they do in ours. We know that. Veach has been, for the most part, very good about making sure that happens. My problem with it is that he is paying a guy $4 million more than the entire wide receiver room combined, and he has caught nothing this year. I mean, what, five passes all season long? I mean, honestly, he's not done well. There's mistakes you can make. You can get cheap in certain areas of football.
Mm-hmm.
There are certain areas you can be a little cheap in. But you don't do it in the wide receiver room. Not in this day and age. Mm-hmm. This is not 1993. You cannot expect very minimal. How should I say this? I don't want to sound like a dick. Okay, you can't expect below average wide receivers to step into this league, into our system, and perform like other people have. You can't, unless you have the right people teaching them to the game. Mahomes can only teach so much. Mm-hmm. He can only do so much. And for everybody out there that was bashing him, fuck off. Because, yeah, he made his mistakes, but you got to expect that when you're sitting in a situation that you have nothing, and I mean absolutely nothing, and you went all season long in the same position with nothing. You don't expect him to come out and just be a magician and do everything. I mean, it's obvious that he's struggling because of this situation. It is what it is. It's sad, but it is what it is. Now, here, I want to give – this is something that fucks me up. The Raiders actually scored 6 points yesterday offensively.
Yeah.
6 points. Fucking points. Okay?
And their quarterback didn't complete a pass in the second, third, or fourth quarter.
No, he actually did complete one in the fourth for 2 yards. They considered that a pass. But I agree with you. He was 12 for 21 and 62 yards on the day. No touchdowns. Our defense, just so you guys understand, points. Now, this is total offensive yards allowed, okay? 287.3. We're second in the NFL, all right? Points allowed per game, 17.7, second in the NFL. Opposing team passing yards per game, 173.8, third in the NFL. Opposing 20-plus yard plays, second in the NFL. The Chiefs lead the league. This is fucking a weird, stupid, weird stat.
Mm-hmm.
The Chiefs lead the league in the last 2 minutes of the first half in points. Out of every team in football, they lead the league in points in the last 2 minutes of the first half. That's one weird fucking stat. Second one is they lead the league in third and long conversions by a large margin. Rashee Rice has 71 receptions on the yard, on the year. 71 receptions. Set the all-time rookie record. He's got like, what, 811 yards. 811 yards. Travis Kelce has 968. Now, we can move down the list here really quick. It's kind of comical if you really want to think about it. Justin Watson is the third best wide receiver with 417 yards, or 419, I'm sorry, 419 yards. Now, if you want to go by drops, Justin Watson has 4, Rashee Rice has 8, Travis Kelce has 6. Understandably, Rashee Rice and Travis Kelce have been targeted a lot more. Travis Kelce has been targeted 117 times this year, Rashee Rice 110 times, okay? So when you're top three guys, and you expect Travis Kelce to be one of them, but your second best wide receiver is a rookie, and your third best wide receiver is a rotational piece, and everybody else is just that we thought was going to get more yards than all the rookies and everybody else combined are down in the hundreds, less than that. Some of them have no yards whatsoever. Most of them don't have any touchdowns. There's a problem. There is a problem. That's an issue, man. No matter how you look at it, that's an issue. And I will say this. Rashee Rice is an elite talent. There's no doubt about that. Next year, he's going to be fucking phenomenal. He's going to be a phenomenal player. He's already a great player. Wait until you see what he does next year with a year under his belt. Because he's proven to everybody that he can play this game. This is a mistake on Veach. There's no other way of saying this.
What would you say? Would you put it on Veach? Would you put it on everyone?
I'd put it on Veach because Veach is the top dog. Veach is the one that makes the decisions on whether we sign somebody or whether we sign somebody else or we don't sign anyone. What do you think?
I would say the answer is yes to that.
Okay, yes.
I think it's on everybody. I don't think it's fair necessarily to say that this is just on one person.
I think
that part of the blame goes to Brett Veach for the fact that there were no other wide receivers brought in. I would say part of the blame goes to Chris Jones for his contract dispute, because I do think that if there were some cap space open, maybe the Chiefs do make a play for a DeAndre Hopkins. It does seem at the very least that they were trying to, because he was waiting for so long to sign somewhere. I wasn't in on signing OBJ, and I'll go with that until the very end. I was much in on his ass off. DeAndre Hopkins for that. What, JP?
He played it. He's played his fucking ass off all year.
I know, but I'm sticking with it. I mean, I'm not gonna sit here and lie and say that, you know, I wasn't out on it.
I agree with you, Stormy.
I think that the biggest thing is, I mean, I could keep going down the list. I think it's Andy Reid's fault, because I don't care what the narrative is out there. It's Andy Reid's offense. It's Andy Reid's team. So any problem with the offense, I'm putting on him first. Even if it comes back to the offensive coordinator, you're the one that hired him as the offensive coordinator.
Yes,
you're the offensive guy. I'm putting the blame on you. You first. So any problem with the defense is Spagnuolo's problem, because Andy Reid isn't involved with the defense. It's Spagnuolo's defense. So I'm putting the problems with him. I'm putting some of the blame on Patrick Mahomes, because he's made some dumb mistakes this year. He's made some bad throws that have led to interceptions. I'm putting the blame on the wide receiver core, because they can't catch the damn ball, because they bop it up like they're playing ping pong. I'm putting the blame on wide receivers for not running the correct routes, for not lining up correctly. I'm putting blame on the offensive tackles and the whole offensive line, because for some god-awful reason, they can't keep their hands inside the pads or they're false starting. I'm putting blame on everybody. It's not black and white, people. There's a ton of gray to go around. This is an entire system's fault. It's everybody's fault. And firing Matt Nagy, or going out and getting a wide receiver, or cutting one guy, is not going to fix the problem. You need to restructure it. And I know people probably don't want to hear that, but I think it's an entire issue. I think the biggest thing that if you were to pull apart all the stats, and we were no longer going to talk about any of the stats, which I know is weird for me, because usually I'm the guy that likes to look at the analytics and stuff like that. Doesn't it just look hard, right? Doesn't it just look like moving the ball is a pain in the ass?
And there's times it looks like it's so easy, though.
And you're just like, God damn it. It just doesn't seem like you can move the ball down the field. And maybe it's because they can't throw the ball deep. If you look at the passing chart from Next Gen Stats.
Constipated.
Patrick Mahomes was 27 of 44. Right, yesterday, with one touchdown and one interception. He had 20 passes. 22 of his passes were less than 5 yards. More than 10 of those passes were at or behind the line of scrimmage.
And I mean, it's
crazy how close to the line of scrimmage it was. I don't remember, even going back to the Alex Smith days, I don't remember a single game where Kansas City focused so much behind the line of scrimmage like this. I mean, it's 18 passes were at or behind the line of scrimmage.
Nagy.
Yes, that's coming up next.
Here's my question.
That's a Nagy thing, Quentin. No matter how you look at it, it is.
Friends, people he's comfortable with, should he hire people who are actually maybe qualified? Quentin, what do you think of him on JP?
I think that Matt Nagy is qualified to be an offensive coordinator in this league. He's been a part of Kansas City's successful offenses before. He is part of the problem. Yes. But it's everybody's a part of the problem. It's not just one.
But it starts at the top.
But here's the issue, though. He was on this team. He was the OC when the Chiefs started off 5-1, drop 6 games, end up, I think, they won 4 or 5 games straight. Then the playoffs, they're up 21-3, and then later done the second half with offense. He was our OC. I'm seeing similar play calling. I've seen similar things. Then he somehow got a head coaching job.
And he took
that to play. There's that. Now, look at this. That is 100% correct. He did have Brad Childress with him, and that was a huge help. He doesn't have a Brad Childress next to him anymore. I'm just telling you that if you go back and you look, that's 100% spot on. When you have Brad Childress next to you, that's a little easier to overcome a lot of the shit. But what you're saying, Caleb, is 100% true.
I'm just seeing similarities, and I'm not trying to hate on the guy, but I'm just
I'm just saying you're 100% right. There was plenty of games between 2000 what, 16 in 2000? How long was he with the 16 to 18? Here, right?
So Peterson got hired by the Eagles the year I think they lost to the Steelers in the playoffs when the offense could not score.
So that was 2016.
And then Nagy was OC next year, and they got hired the year after that. Then Bieniemy had a record-breaking offense, and he didn't get hired. So that's what I'm talking about. It's a little weird to me how mediocre performances get you a head coach
position. Well, I think
he took the Browns to the playoffs. He took the Bears to the playoffs. Let's not forget
that. Four out of the 5 years.
Yeah, with Mitch Trubisky as his quarterback. I know they had a decent defense that year, but let's be honest. It's not like Matt Nagy is a bad coach. Okay, let's not go that far.
No, he's not. But what we are saying is, and I understand what Caleb's saying. He was an issue with this before.
Similarities with this offense, throwing these screen passes on 3rd and 7.
Yes. And that's fear.
That are willing to open up the playbook.
But see, what I'm seeing right there, Caleb, is fear.
The play calling has dropped back 7 years.
That's fear. Nothing's changed. That's fear. I'm telling you. When Alex Smith was with us, he was a great quarterback, but he was a limited quarterback. Everybody knows this. He was very limited in certain things that he did. And Matt Nagy adjusted for that. When he had Trubisky, he actually limited Trubisky in a lot of ways, but he still took him to the playoffs. His fear and his trepidation is what's killing him. Mm-hmm. And it's what's killing this team right now. And I agree with that part. But this is my point. The only rebuttal I have to what Quentin said is this. It starts at the top. Okay? It's not just Andy that hires everybody. Brett Veach has to sign off on everything. He's the GM. So if he wants to go cheap and bring in a defensive assistant that's been a defensive assistant for a couple of years because his daddy was in the NFL as a coach at one time, and this kid was a wide receiver at Blue Valley High School, so that makes him an authority on wide receivers because he came in cheap, that's on him. That's fucking Veach. Don't be cheap. You want to win? Bring in people that can fucking help you win. If you have a wide receiver core, and there's nobody is going to tell me any different. If you have a wide receiver core that did what they did last year in the exact fucking same positions, and you don't utilize them the same way, how many times was Noah Gray on the ground yesterday? I mean, honestly, if you look at it, he was used very sparingly yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
He wasn't targeted. He wasn't used much. We've seen these glimpses of when the Chiefs can be really good, and it's certain packages that they put together with certain players that make them look really good.
Mm-hmm.
Yesterday, in fact, when we had that when we had to call that timeout because it went down to the 1 second, Mahomes turned around and said, "Send me the fucking plays," because they're not even getting the plays fast enough to him. There's a problem there. And I don't know if it's insecurities. I don't know if it's what it is. But the screenplays are a thing of the past. Everybody knows that. It doesn't work. It works, 2% of the time? No point in doing it all the time. Just doesn't work. We were missing some key players yesterday. There's no doubt. Pacheco wasn't 100%. Now, here's another point. Pacheco wasn't 100%. He got knocked out of the game. Nobody thought he had a concussion until he completely fell off the bicycle. It didn't tip over. He fell off because he was dizzy. He had a concussion. He was out. They fucking abandoned the run game again. They didn't use Clyde in the open field.
He couldn't get any yards because the offensive line, the Secret Service.
Okay, why not take him and use him in the passing
again,
game?
Again, it goes to play calling.
That's my point.
Side.
That's my point. Out.
I mean, it's.
I want to go back to a couple of these things that really quick. I want to see what Stormy's asking. Said he said, "Can we talk about something?" I didn't get to see it. He said, "We talk about the Chiefs' red zone offense for a little bit. Feel like it's been it has been one of the worst." And you know what's weird? Let's talk about this really quick, Stormy. How many times from week 1 to week 8 did you see McKinnon in the red zone?
Well, McKinnon is injured again.
I understand, but my point is. How many times did you see him in the red zone? He was our best red zone threat last year.
Oh, yeah. The amount of times we talk about this stat, you think my stupid brain would remember it. But what did he have, 8, 9 games in a row where he had a touchdown last year?
Yep. Yes, and he actually had 10 total.
So then it was nine games in a row?
Nine in a row and 10 total. And NFL record, by the way. And those were all passing touchdowns. Let's not forget that. But we didn't see him for the first half of the season. And then when he comes out, he plays a little bit, does pretty well, gets injured. We put Clyde in. He does pretty well at certain points. They take him out. They don't use him anymore. These play calls and the schemes are fucking terrible. And I don't know if this is fear. I don't know if this is what it is, but it has to end. Let the man play the game that he knows how to play. Go back to the basics. Go back to what we used to do. Because you have the same players that you had last year that you were slinging the fucking ball down the field with.
Here's what I would say. Here's what I would push back against then. Because if you're not getting better, you're getting worse. And I don't think Kansas City really got better in the offseason. I know Rice has come out onto the scene, but and sure, he's probably better than Juju Smith-Schuster. But here's the thing is that Travis Kelce isn't the same player that he was last year. MVS isn't the same player as he was last year, right? So I just think overall this wide receiver room has gotten worse, and it's been reflecting that.
I think part of the problem, though, if you really look at the games, Travis Kelce hasn't gotten worse. It's really fucking hard when you spent your life being double covered, and then there's nobody else that puts the fear in any defense, so they're going to triple cover you constantly. And then when you finally do get an opportunity, your hands are like butter.
Dropping balls too, though.
That's what I'm saying. He's dropped four passes this year. Four. He's had four drops on 110 attempts. He's dropped four passes. So I know, but what I'm saying is, at some point when there's no fear of anybody else on your football team, now they're starting to fear Rice. Now, in the last three games, they're fearing Rice. Kelsey's been non-existent because he's been triple teamed the entire season. If you go look yesterday, they had three people on him constantly because they had no fear of MVS. They know Mahomes ain't going to go downfield. They know it. They just don't have any fear. We're not doing anything that is remotely special to make people scared. All we're doing is proving to people that we are scared. That's exactly what we're doing. We're showing everybody in the NFL that we're scared to throw the ball downfield. We're scared to put the ball in the air. And then, out of the fucking blue, the offensive line decides just to take a shit.
On Christmas, out of all days.
On Christmas, they took a shit on Mahomes on Christmas. And then a dog owned by the Hunts took a shit on the field after the game. That tells you the trajectory this team is going in.
So here's my question to you guys. I want to hear from Quentin first and then JP. Is this season salvageable? Can the Chiefs do what they're supposed to do? Quentin, I want to hear from you first and we'll go
yes.
to JP.
Yes, because you have Patrick Mahomes and the any given Sunday – is 100% true in the NFL, and you have an elite defense. So, yes. That plus, Rice has big play capability. Kadarius Toney has big play capability. I know he wasn't a participant in the offense on Monday, but it's true. He is big play capable. You still have Travis Kelce, even though he's beat up, and you still have MVS. So yes, this is not like a completely lost season, throw in the towel, you know, knock down the building and turn it into a parking lot. This is just the way that it's going to be though for the rest of the season.
It's going to be a tough road. It's a tough road. Here's my opinion on this. And I'm not going to get into all the conspiracy shit because it's stupid, but you know, what's weird. And Thiz and I talked about this off air. Vegas at the beginning of the season had us winning 11 games. And then, hold on, they also had us going back-to-back and winning the Super Bowl. Right now we're on a trajectory to win 11 games. If we beat Cincinnati, we're definitely going to win 11 games. The Chargers can't beat us. Now, on our worst day, the Chargers can't beat us.
The Raiders.
Huh? No, the Chargers are a totally different football team than the Raiders, dude. They're so bad that, I mean, honestly, they're fucking terrible. They're not going to beat us. But next week is going to be a deciding factor. So if this – look, man, and people have seen what we have done all year long, okay? This is why I'm bringing this up, because people have watched this team slowly implode all year long, Win a game, lose a game. Win a game, lose a game. All season. If everything Vegas says comes to fruition at the end of this season, people are going to fucking explode. They are going to know for a fact that the NFL is in cahoots with fucking bookies. Because if they predict us to go win 11 games, and then they predict us to be back-to-back Super Bowl champs, and that ends up happening, wow. That's something that everybody's going to see and hear and listen to. But I agree with Quentin. I don't think I'll take this back. Monday I was so pissed off, I thought we're one and done. I really did. I thought we were one and done. I was mad. Watching how that game played out, I was just like, okay, fuck, if we're going to continue like this, we're finished. No matter where we land in the playoffs, we're done. One game, we're through. I don't see that now. I had some time to calm down and think about everything and look at the stats and look at everything that's gone on. I agree with Quentin. We can salvage this season. We have back to the number three defense in football after yesterday. Mm-hmm. Or number four, I'm sorry. We have a top five defense. No matter how you look at it, it's a top five defense. We have Patrick Mahomes. Who can fix anything if he's got his mind set to it? We also have Andy Reid. Arguably, I mean, people say he's the second best head coach ever. I don't know if that's true or not. I could say he may be the first or the best head coach ever. I don't know yet. The reason I say that is because he's the only coach that's taken two different franchises and won the games that he's won and had winning records with two different franchises and never lost, had a losing record with a franchise. Mm. He's the only – Belichick didn't do that. He's falling apart. And here's another thing that I think people need to realize. Do you realize that the Patriots just beat the Broncos? The team that beat us?
Let's get into the AFC West expansion here.
Let's do that.
Okay, so the way we do this is we go down the AFC West. Obviously, we've talked about the Raiders and Chiefs, so we'll just do the Broncos and the Chargers real quick. We go in alphabetical order because even though there are only four teams, my brain might forget about one of them. So we're going to start with the Broncos here. The Broncos lost to the Patriots 26-23. It was a very weird game as the Patriots had like 24 unanswered points.
Yeah.
The Patriots scored three touchdowns in the third quarter, which was a season high for them. And the defense just broke down. The Broncos defense just broke down. This is what happens when you don't get five turnovers in a single game as the Broncos. Ezekiel Elliott, though, 12 carries for a whopping 27 yards. This was
receiving game, though, was good.
Just
though,
a weird, weird game.
Think about it from think about 21 that.
Points. 21.50.
Think about this, though. The 26 points that they scored, if I'm not mistaken and I heard the stat correct, that is the most points they've scored all season long in one single game. And they did that in the third quarter against the Broncos defense that apparently became top five again. So that kind of goes to show you that when we lost to the Broncos, they didn't beat us. We beat ourselves, just like we beat ourselves in every game we've lost this season. I just wanted to bring that up. The Broncos are not what everybody thinks they are. Russell Wilson played like ass, as usual. And they could say, oh, well, they were missing one player. Okay, well, we were missing three yesterday. We've been missing players all season long.
Mm-hmm.
We missed players all last year. You know, they're not the team that everybody thinks they are. They went on a little hot streak against some really bad football teams, including us, because we were playing like pure ass when we played that game. So the Broncos, in my opinion, I mean – nothing special.
Yeah, they moved to 7-8. That loss really, really hurt their playoff chances if they really feel like they had any left. But yeah, Broncos are still not a good team. They got sacked. Russell Wilson got sacked five times yesterday. And I know I've been saying this for a while, but I'm going to keep saying it. Sacks is a quarterback stat as much as it is an offensive line stat. So just shows again that Russell Wilson still has the same tendencies as he did back when he was a Seahawk.
Yep. Mm-hmm. And that's the exact reason why Pete Carroll wanted to get rid of him in 2017. And they wouldn't allow that to happen. They didn't want him around anymore. So the Broncos just bid on it and ran like idiots.
Now, surprisingly, the more interesting of the two games, we had the Buffalo Bills visiting the Chargers. The Bills beat the Chargers in a very close 24-22
game. That was weird.
Very weird game.
Yeah.
It was back and forth really throughout the whole game. The fourth quarter, though, there were four field goals kicked, with Tyler Bass kicking the game-winning field goal with 28 seconds left. Dicker, the kicker, kicked three field goals, a 47, a 45, and a 53-yarder, all in the fourth quarter. Mm-hmm. It would have been very helpful for the Chargers to beat the Bills for our sake. A guy by the name of Easton Stick was the Chargers quarterback, which I swear to God is a Madden created name. This is just an example of the Bills winning a very close game, and I think this is just sort of the defining of their season and to an extent. Josh Allen had an interception, and the Bills lost two fumbles. So once again, a very turnover-friendly team, and they were still able to pull through because they're able to make some big plays down the field.
I mean,
Gabe Davis had four receptions for 130 yards.
Yeah.
Ooh, that's a lot of fantasy points.
A lot of fantasy points.
Not as much as Amari Cooper.
That's true.
Amari Cooper or something, though. We could have had him, too, by the way. For anybody that wants to know that.
You're hurting me.
Yeah, well, that was another one that Veach decided to pass on. But anyway, that was weird, and it kind of gives you an indication that, we beat ourselves because we should have easily beaten the Bills, and we didn't. Our defense held up. Our offense didn't. That tells you right there. Easton Stick, I agree with you, is a made-up name.
I swear to God, that's a mad
either that name. Or his parents didn't. Look,
he can dribble a football.
That's great. That's fantastic.
There's a video going him doing that.
That's fucking awesome. But that name right there, it's one of two things. It's either made up or his parents did not like him. There's something they didn't want him. He was not wanted. There was a race car driver back in the 70s by the name of Dick Trickle. So if you're going to name your kid Dick Trickle, you were not wanted. Your daddy did not want you. And he decided to call you Dick Trickle. There's no difference in Easton Stick.
I was really hoping Chase Daniel was still going to be on the team because that's my hero.
Yes. Yeah.
He's a legend.
Yep.
Oh, I just, this is a good show, by the way. $1 million for completion.
Yeah. Yeah. He's got a great podcast now. Does a pretty good job. He's a rivalry with Kurt Warner on the podcast thing about quarterbacks. So, hey, it is what it is. We'll get to your comments here in just a couple of minutes. Look, the Bills' defense isn't that great. They allowed that to happen to them, and their offense apparently is just as wishy-washy as ours. So kind of is what it is. The Bills will struggle in the playoffs. We don't know what we're going to do in the playoffs because, look, right now the best we can do is number two seed. And that's with everything falling our way. That's best we can do. Number one seed is out of the question. Not going to happen.
And I feel like the number two seed is really out of the question.
Yeah, it's
to a degree it is. I mean, mathematically, we're still able to get it.
Yeah, mathematically, you're still there. But mathematically, a lot of things.
Yeah, mathematically, the Raiders are still somewhat in the playoffs, and so are the Broncos. So
yeah,
with two games left. But I'm just saying, right now, the best we can do is a two seed. We're probably going to end up with the three. If we get the two seed, we do get a home field game, which is great. We just missed the bye. I would like – look, you know what? I would rather us have the two or three seed because Mahomes plays better on the road, and I think that's what this team needs. I think they need to go out tough. Just like they're playing this season tough, making it difficult on themselves, it needs to be difficult on them during the playoffs. That's just my opinion. Moving on. We do have
these last three comments. Joseph from Facebook, until our receivers learn how to run routes and sit in zones, we won't. I think this is referring to, just really the conversation about our offense. They can't beat man-to-man coverage. They can't find a spot in zone coverage. Our offense is pretty stagnant. I pretty much agree with a lot of it there. I mean, a lot of it is with the passing game and the struggles there. Anytime Mahomes moves out of the pocket, there it hasn't been that second guy outside of, you know, Kelce that can take advantage of some of those open holes. So I do agree with a lot there. Stormy KC, Chiefs big name losses, including the Bills and Eagles. Like you guys said, we beat ourselves. We can play with them. It's just miscommunication and the penalties are the reasons why we lost. Yeah. It really is. You see the talent level that get out there. When the offense gets rolling for a couple of drives, you see the talent level and what's there. It is just really difficult to get the thing going. It's like a lawnmower that was made in 1987 and you left in the garage for 15 years. And then, you know, when you move the Christmas decorations, now you're like, oh my God, is that a lawnmower? Yeah. And you try and get that bad boy going, and it just, you know, no matter how hard you pull the cord, it's just not moving.
Unless it's a lawn boy. Those can sit for 30 years and start on the second pull no matter what. They're the best. But anyway.
Final comment from Will. The Chiefs haters are loving this. The Chiefs offensive struggles. Calling Patrick Mahomes a crybaby and making a big deal about the Travis Kelce slamming his helmet to the ground. Look, when you're the highest man on the mountain, the harder you fall, right? You know, if this was happening to the Panthers or the Bears, nobody would care. It wouldn't make the highlights because nobody cares when the bad teams play bad. They care what
So yep, exactly.
It's going to continue to happen because the higher you are, the mightier you fall. And this is just something that Kansas City is going to have to deal with. All right.
And also remember, too, those haters, if you go look at most of them, those are guys that aren't even close to a playoff berth. So it is what it is. You're going to get that kind of shit. And like Quentin said, we're the top dog. We're the Super Bowl reigning champions. Everybody in the that is an NFL fan, whether they started to be in 2018 or if they've been one since, you know, 1960, they wanted to see the Chiefs fall at some point. And they think this is the demise of the Chiefs. You're wrong. It's not. This is a learning curve.
Vengeance.
Yeah, that's really kind of what it is. He said, which do you guys think can go on the opposite sides of Rashee?
Brian Thompson Jr. from LSU.
Yeah. just came out of nowhere. Honestly, I mean, I think we need a veteran wide receiver. I think we need somebody that's been in the league a little bit. I don't think we need to go and just pull another draft pick and have a bunch of rookies on the team. We have to find somebody that is, you know, we have to actually trade for somebody that's willing to come to this team and help us win this, you know. And I agree with you on Richie James. Richie James will be back next year because Richie James is a good player. There's no doubt about that. Richie James could probably do it. And again, I agree. He could be that guy this year. He's a good player. He runs great routes. He's strong. He's physical. He just needs to be on the field more. Mm. And again, that could be something that Andy's holding off on. He's just holding off on it a little too long because now we've lost to two teams that we haven't lost to. I mean, honestly, Mahomes was what? He only had two losses in his career in the AFC West, and now he lost two in the same year. So that's holding off too long, in my opinion. He said it's both just keep throwing darts. Yeah, I mean, but they have to fix the offensive line. The last thing I want to say about this is there's going to be some restructures done. Don't expect Juwan Taylor to stay on an $80 million contract. That's not going to happen. So that will be done at the end of the season, regardless of what the turnout is. He's going to get restructured. Chris Jones will most likely be extended. He does want to stay. And I got that very, very close.
I need to see that in writing, video confession, everything.
He's already said it, and he does want to stay. Also, extend LeJarius Sneed. Get it done now. Because if you don't, you're going to fucking regret it. We have to keep some part of this team together. And the defense right now is the best part of this football team. And you can make moves to extend these players and bring your cap space to where you need it to bring in who you need to bring in and still sign the players that you want to sign. There's players that everybody's so concerned with signing next year that we don't have to sign next year. Creed Humphrey is one of them. Trey Smith is another one. You don't absolutely have to sign those guys next year. move the money a little bit around, or around a little bit, and make it happen like every other fucking team does. Every other good football team does it. Right now, the Ravens absolutely look like the best fucking team in football. After what they did last night, they look like the best team in football. If anybody says any different, they're crazy. Because they put they stomped a mud hole in the 49ers. It is what it is. The 49ers looked like children last night. Brock Purdy threw for 4 interceptions.
Not the MVP.
Hey, but you know what's funny? I got to say this before we go. Did you see George Kittle's press conference? It was phenomenal. They asked him, what do you think about this? What happened? You know, I mean, this is not indicative of a 49ers football team. And he says, well, the NFL scriptwriter sure got this one correct. I've never seen Brock Purdy throw for 4 interceptions. And in fact, I haven't seen a 4 interception game out of the 49ers since 2018. Merry Christmas. And he walked off. That right there threw a lot of doubt in people's minds, because for Kittle to come out and say something like that, that was insane. And Joe, I kind of almost tend to agree with you because of their defense and the way Joe Flacco's playing right now.
I'm sorry, who?
Yeah, man, they're playing
Joe
good.
Who?
Flacco.
Thank you.
Well, I tell you what, his fluke has panned out to be pretty damn good this year, and that's not a fucking a quarterback-friendly offense. I'll just put it that way. Because he's outplaying Deshaun Watson in every aspect. Every aspect. So I would not put anything past the Browns this year. They're a good football team.
All right.
They got a great fucking defense.
Talk about PFF or PSF and take us home, JP.
Stormy, I don't know where you've been. Scott, I don't know where you've been. Joe, I don't even know where you've been. But you need to download the PSF app on your phone. It's very simple. It's called Pro Sports Fans. Looks like that little emblem up in the top of the screen. Download it. Every Sunday, we do a game. It's a live game cast. It's like Manning Cast, but without the Mannings. You can say what you want. You can come on audio if you want. You can come on video if you want. It doesn't matter. Join the group. Join Chiefs fans and follow us on there. It's a lot of fun. We do it every week. Fizz is on there. We've had Boo Boo Smith on, Phillips on every week. I've been trying to get one of these two guys to come on, but they're always too busy for us. So join the chat, join the game, join the fun. Do what you got to do. Oh, that is you, Joe. That's right. Holy shit, that's Joe Boo. I didn't realize that was him on there. He's on there all the time. In fact, he's one of the ones that is always commenting on there. You know, Joe, how we get. We get animated. So it's fun. Make sure you join. You know, it's a lot of fun. Tell your friends about it. And like and subscribe on YouTube, please. Tell your friends about that. You know, buy us a cup of coffee here and there. With that being said, we appreciate everybody for joining, and we will talk to you guys again Sunday. No, wait.